عليكم ورحمة الله. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، حمد عباده الذاكرين الشاكرين، حمدا يوافي نعمه ويكافئ مزيده، وصلى اللهم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وفقها في الدين يا رب العالمين، آمين. Inshallah, we continue on our study of the life of the Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah be pleased with them, ajma'een. And today, inshallah, we will try to go over four of the Sahaba, maybe the maximum number we have done so far. But the first two we'll talk about, they have a very special connection, and they are a master and a slave before Islam. An own person to an owner in the days of ignorance. And we will see what Islam did to both of them and how Islam changed the relationship between the master and the slave, and how the true brotherhood of Islam translated their hearts into the station that they got themselves into. The second part, inshallah, we will talk about two sahaba. The relation between them is they both are handicapped. And they both had significant handicap. And they both overcame that. And we will see how faith in the heart has no handicap and no barriers between the Muslim heart and its Lord. Subhanallah. Start with the first sahabi today. This sahabi that we will talk about is Abu Hudhayfa. Abu Hudhayfa ibn Utbah ibn Rabi'ah. Son of Utbah, son of Rabi'ah. If you recognize the name Utbah ibn Rabi'ah, then you recognize it because he was an arch enemy of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of the people that swore to defeat the new dawah of Islam. And Abu Hudhayfa was the son of this man. Now Utbah ibn Rabi'ah is counted with the enemies of Islam, like Abu Jahl, Umayyah ibn Khalaf, Ubay ibn Khalaf, and Uqba ibn Abi Mu'ayt. And they all are the aristocrat of Quraysh that led the attack against Muslims. Now the son of Utbah is Abu Hudhayfa, is the sahabi that we will talk about today. And then he has a slave in his household, an owned man. And people say he was owned by his wife. And this slave name was Salim. And Salim was in the household of Abu Hudhayfa. So we will talk about both of them, inshallah. Let's start with Abu Hudhayfa. Abu Hudhayfa, as we said, he is son of Utbah ibn Rabi'ah. So that puts him really among the elite, the noble people of Quraysh, among the aristocrats in Quraysh. And he was married to the daughter of Suhail ibn Amr. Suhail ibn Amr also had a very good stature in Quraysh. He was a nobleman in Quraysh, and he was the chief negotiator for Quraysh with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Hudaybiyah. And he is the one that wrote and dictated the terms of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the daughter of Suhail ibn Amr, radiallahu anhu, because he became a Sahabi later on, the daughter of Suhail ibn Amr is married to Abu Hudhayfa, radiallahu anhu, and her name was Sahla. Sahla bint Suhail ibn Amr. But Abu Hudhayfa became a Muslim, and became a Muslim before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to the house of Bani al-Arqam. The first place for teaching Islam, Abu Hudhayfa was there. And he was a Muslim before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered that first Islamic university, if you will. And that puts him among the one that proceeded to Islam very early on, very early days of Islam. So he was one of 40. We know in the house of Bani al-Arqam, they completed 40 after 3 years by Umar ibn Khattab. He was the 40th person to enter that university, that house. And that was 3 years into teaching Islam in that house. So Abu Hudhayfa is one of the first, one of the awa'il of as-sabiqun. And his wife also became a Muslim along with him, and he was hiding his Islam. Abu Hudhayfa hid his Islam like many of the Sahaba early on in that phase of Islam. His father, Utbah ibn Rabi'ah, was an enemy of Islam, and he was one of the people that decided to fight this religion all the way. However, history reports that the animosity and enmity of Utbah ibn Rabi'ah was like him, was really a noble animosity. He did not ridicule the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he did not do personal attacks against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's why in the books of Sirah you don't hear about Utbah ibn Rabi'ah torturing people or abusing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam personally. But the others did. We know how Uqbah ibn Abi Mu'ayth even had the audacity to spit in the honorable face of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he put the intestines of a dead camel on the head of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We know the abuse of Abu Jahl. We know the abuse of Umayyah ibn Khalaf. But Utbah was sort of an enemy for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he did not do that kind of abuse. And furthermore, he used to come and negotiate with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And one time he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he sat with him and he said, "My nephew, Yabna Akhi, if you want to be a king in Quraysh, we will make you a king in Quraysh. If you want to have wealth, we will gather money and you become the wealthiest man in Quraysh. If you want women, we'll bring you all the women." And look at this, you know, ridiculous. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would listen to him and listen to him. He said, "If you want women, we'll bring you the best women among us. If you have something in your mind, if you have a disease, mental disease, we'll bring you the best physicians, the best people to cure you." And the Prophet listened to all of that from Utbah. And then when he finished Utbah, he said, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam politely, "Hal faraghta ya am? Are you done, my uncle?" And Utbah said, "Yeah, I said all I have to say." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam started reciting, "A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim, bismillahi ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Hamim, kitabun fussilat ayatu." And he recited Surah Fussilat. And Utbah was stunned. Utbah was stunned. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam got to the verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Andartukum sa'iqatan ka sa'iqati 'adin wa Thamud." I warn you of punishment like the punishment of Ad and Thamud. And Utbah was shaken with fear, and he put his hands on his head and he said, "Stop. Unashiduka Allah wa rahim. Stop by Allah and by the relation between us." So he felt the greatness of Quran. But that was the type of relationship between Utbah ibn Rabi'ah and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when Utbah went back to Quraysh, Abu Jahl said, "This is a different face than the Utbah went to the Prophet to Muhammad with. He came back with a different face. He felt the Quran. He knew that was the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the stubbornness in his heart and the arrogance in his heart prevented him from declaring Islam. And Hudhayfa was his son. Abu Hudhayfa was recorded among the people of Muhajireen, the people that made immigration in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he made the first wave of immigration to Al-Habasha, to Avicenna. And then he came back with the people that came back after they heard that Quraysh became Muslim after the reveal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed Surah An-Najm. Because Quraysh made prostration, hearing the enormity of the ayahs. And people thought Quraysh became a Muslim, and that's the rumor that got to Habasha, and they came back. And some of them went in immigration again to Habasha, and some stayed in Medina, in Mecca, excuse me. Some stayed in Mecca, but Abu Hudhayfa made the two hijrah to Habasha, made the first wave, and he made the second wave. So he has, and every immigration has a great reward in Islam. So he made the two immigrations to Habasha. Then he made the immigration to Medina after the second bay'ah of Aqaba, and with him there was his wife, and with him there was Salim, who we'll be talking about inshaAllah. Abu Hudhayfa stayed in Medina with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. his whole family, his father, Utba ibn Rabi'a, his brother, Shayba ibn Rabi'a, and his the other one, his uncle, Al-Walid ibn Utba. So Utba ibn Rabi'a, I'm sorry, and the brother of Abu Hudhayfa is Al-Walid ibn Utba, and the uncle of Abu Hudhayfa is Shayba ibn Rabi'a. And then these people came with the army of Abu Jahl to the wells of Badr. And Abu Hudhayfa is with the army of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the wells of Badr. And here is the battle of Badr about to start. And for the battle on the days of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on that time, they always start with a duel between fighters, the best fighters of that army and the best fighters of the other army. And who comes out? The three people that came out from Quraysh were Utba ibn Rabi'a, Shayba ibn Rabi'a, and Al-Walid ibn Utba. The father of Abu Hudhayfa, the uncle of Abu Hudhayfa, and the brother of Abu Hudhayfa. And Abu Hudhayfa ran out. He wants to fight with these people. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Makanak, please stay there. That is too much. That is too much for him to be out there fighting them in public in duels. And Abu Hudhayfa stayed there. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sends three people to fight them. He sends Hamza, Asadullah, the lion of Allah, Hamza. And Hamza was fighting Shayba, who is the uncle of Abu Hudhayfa. And he sent Ubaidah ibn al-Harith, his cousin Ubaidah ibn al-Harith, and he sent him to fight Utba, the father of Abu Hudhayfa. And then he sent Ali ibn Abi Talib, his other cousin, to fight Al-Walid ibn Utba. And here's Abu Hudhayfa watching, and the duel started. And the first thing, Hamza didn't take him long, and he killed Shayba. And that is, he saw his uncle killed on the battlefield. And then it didn't take Ali long, and he killed Al-Walid. He killed his brother, Al-Walid ibn Utba. And then Ubaidah and Utba were fighting. And Ubaidah stabbed Utba, and Utba stabbed Ubaidah. They both injured each other, and then Ubaidah was able to kill Utba ibn Rabi'ah, who is the father of Abu Hudhayfa. So within minutes, here's Abu Hudhayfa, and he sees the entire clan of his family, his father, his uncle, and his brother on the battlefield dead. Later on, Ubaidah ibn al-Harith is martyred in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from those wounds. And he became sad seeing that scene. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, Ya Abu Hudhayfa, la'allaka qad dakhalaka min sha'ni abika shay'. Abu Hudhayfa, you have anything in your heart about your father? Are you saddened about your father? And then Abu Hudhayfa said, لا والله يا رسول الله. Oh no, والله يا رسول الله. I didn't. ما شككت في أبي. I have no doubts about my father. ولا في مصرعه. About the fate of my father. But ولكنني كنت أعرف من أبي رأيا وحلما وسدادا وفضلا. But I know my father, and I know he's an intelligent man, and I know he's got wisdom, and I know he's got a mind, he's got a mental capability to know right from wrong, to distinguish right from wrong. فَكُنْتُ أَرْجُوا أَنْ يَهْدِيَهُ ذَلِكَ إِلَى الْإِسْلَامِ. I was just hoping that that wisdom and that intelligence would guide him to Islam. فَلَمَّا رَأَيْتُ مَا أَصَابَهُ. When I saw what happened to him, وَذَكَرْتُ مَا مَاتَ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ الْكُفْرِ. And I saw that he died on the state of unbelieving on kufr. أَحْزَنَنِي ذَلِكَ. That is the only thing that made me sad. I was not sad because my father is killed. I'm sad because he had the mental power, he had the intelligence, he had the wisdom to know Islam, but he was stubborn not to accept Islam. And that was what made me sad. And in this mental status, and you can only imagine the stress in the mind of Hudhayfa, Abu Hudhayfa, and in the heart of Abu Hudhayfa. I mean, this is not easy. We are talking about that as if it's a story. But this is a reality. Somebody seeing his family being killed one after the other, and he had no doubts, where are they going? They are going to hellfire. He is very stressed with this situation. And in that puts him in another thing that is well reported in history, that the Prophet ﷺ started telling the Sahaba at that point. ﷺ said, إِنِّي قَدْ عَرَفْتُ رِجَالًا. He said, there are men among the Quraysh army, مِنْ بَنِي هَاشِمْ وَغَيْرِهِمْ, from the people of Hashim and other people. قَدْ أُخْرِجُوا مُكْرَهِينَ. They went out to the battlefield, but they were forced to come with the army. They didn't want to. لَا حَاجَةَ لَهُمْ بِقِتَالِنَا. They did not come to fight us. فَمَنْ لَقِيَ مِنْكُمْ أَحَدًا مِنْ بَنِي هَاشِمْ فَلَا يَقْتُلُ. Whoever sees anybody from the clan of Bani Hashim, that is the family of the Prophet ﷺ, let them not kill them. وَمَنْ لَقِيَ أَبَا الْبُخْتُرِي إِبْنُ هِشَامٍ فَلَا يَقْتُلُ. Those who find Abu al-Bukhturi, a man in Quraysh, Ibn Hisham, he's from Bani Asad, he's not from the clan of Hashim. But whoever sees that man, don't kill him. And whoever sees Al-Abbas ibn Abd al-Muttalib, the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ, Al-Abbas, don't kill him. The Prophet ﷺ said, don't kill these people and don't kill anybody from the clan of Bani Hashim. He said, فَإِنَّمَا خَرَجَ مُسْتَكْرَهًا. He was forced to come out to the battlefield. He didn't want to fight. And why is that? The Prophet ﷺ is not trying to kill the rest of Quraysh and protect his own family. What happened is the entire clan of Hashim were besieged in the fork of Abu Talib for 3 years under severe and harsh economical embargo before Hijrah. When the rest of Quraysh had a treaty not to sell anything to them, not to buy anything from them, and they starved until they eat the leaves of the trees. And they were not Muslims. And they would not give up the Prophet ﷺ. They would starve and die, but would not give up the Prophet. So the Prophet was given that favor back to them. As he know that they were brought to the battlefield because they were forced to. And nobody should be killing them because they are not going to kill anyone. I mean, they're just showing presence, but they're not there to fight. And Abu al-Bukhturi ibn Hisham, the one that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, let not anyone kill him, he's the one that worked on taking down the treaty, on lifting the embargo for the Muslims. And he was not a Muslim. So he felt for the Muslims, but he still did not declare Islam. And actually what happened is in that heat of the battle, Abu al-Bukhturi was killed anyway. But the Prophet ﷺ ordered that nobody would kill him, but he was killed. And then the last person that the Prophet ﷺ ordered to be protected is Al-Abbas, the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ. Abu Hudhayfa, in that heat of emotion, in that disturbed time in his life, let his anger get the best of him. And he said a word that he regretted for the rest of his life. And he said, أَنَقْتُلُ آبَاءَنَا وَإِخْوَانَنَا وَعَشِيرَتَنَا وَنَتْرُكُ الْعَبَّاسِ. Should we just kill our fathers and our uncles and our brothers and let the Abbas go? He said, وَاللَّهِ لَإِنْ لَقَيْتُهُ لَأَلْجِمَنَّهُ بِالسَّيْفِ. If I see the Abbas, then I would hit his face with my sword. And that really just reflects just frustration and anger and nothing else. But the Prophet ﷺ heard what Abu Hudhayfa said. And in that, there is really disobedience, direct disobedience to the orders of the Prophet ﷺ in the first battle of Islam. And when the Prophet ﷺ turned to Umar, and he said, Ya Abu Hafs. Umar's nickname was Abu Hafs. And that was, in recorded history, according to Umar, the first time the Prophet ﷺ calls him Abu Hafs. And he said to Umar, أَيُضْرَبُ وَجْهُ عَمِّ نَبِيِّكَ بِالسَّيْفِ. He said, do you think that the face of the uncle of your prophet should be hit by the sword? And Umar said, Ya Rasulallah, da'ni fal adrub unuqa. Let me kill Abu Hudhayfa. Fa'innahu munafiq. Umar had one solution basically for anything. He said, let me kill Abu Hudhayfa because he's a hypocrite. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, No, he is not a munafiq. He is not a hypocrite. Our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam understood what was in the heart of Abu Hudhayfa. And then later on, he brought Abu Hudhayfa and he talked to him. And what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he said, دَعَ لَهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, what is recording in الصحيحين, in the two Sahih, Bukhari and Muslim, he said, he prayed for Abu Hudhayfa. دَعَ لَهُ بِخَيْرٍ وَقَالَ لَهُ خَيْرًا. He had only good words to say to Abu Hudhayfa. He understood what was in the heart of Abu Hudhayfa. But Abu Hudhayfa could not believe what he said, could not believe how he let his anger get the best of him and say these words to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, مَا أَنَا بِآمِن مِن تِلْكَ الْكَلِمَةِ, I don't feel safe from Allah, from that word that I said that day. He is always fearful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish him because of that word that he said. He said, وَلَا أَزَالُ مِنْهَا خَائِفًا, and I'm trembling with fear from that word that I said about the orders of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, إِلَّا أَن تُكَفِّرَهَا عَنِّي الشَّهَادَةَ, there is only one thing that can give me pardon from that word, that is shahada, that is martyrdom. I have to die in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the first thing, the first drop of the martyr's blood, all his sins are completely gone with the first drop. This is hadith sahih. From the first drop of the blood of the martyr, entire sins of his whole life are gone. The rest of the blood is also reward. The first blood is only used, the first drop is used to basically pardon all his sins. He said, that is the only thing that will let me be forgiven. And he would go to every battle, and he would fight and fight and fight with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He went to Uhud, and he was one of the best fighters in the battle of Uhud. He fought with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Al-Khandaq. And he fought with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with every battle, and he wasn't killed. He was not killed on the battlefield with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Leave Abu Hudhayfa for a little bit, and let's talk about his slave. The slave in the house of Abu Hudhayfa, his name is Salim. Salim was a slave in the household of Abu Hudhayfa. And before Islam, Salim was basically brought up. He was brought to the house of Abu Hudhayfa when he was very little. He doesn't remember anything about his pre-Abu Hudhayfa life, about his life before Abu Hudhayfa. So Salim was brought up in the house of Abu Hudhayfa radiallahu anhuma, and he became a young man, and Abu Hudhayfa loved this young man in his household. And he knew that he is smart, and he knew that he is a very good person. He always would do the good deeds, he never lies, and that even before Islam. And Abu Hudhayfa decided to set Salim free. Salim would not be a slave in the household of Abu Hudhayfa. And above that, from his love to Salim, he decided to make him his son. And the discrepancy whether that happened before Islam or after Islam, and Allah knows best. But in most of these references, that Abu Hudhayfa freed Salim after Salim and Abu Hudhayfa became Muslims. So he freed Salim and he adopted him. So Salim is now called Salim ibn Abi Hudhayfa. Like what? Like Zayd, in the household of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was called Zayd ibn Muhammad. And that was still legitimate in Islam. So here is Salim, and he in the Jahili and the early Islamic terms, the son of Abu Hudhayfa. No questions asked. He's an adopted son of Abu Hudhayfa. He can inherit the money of Abu Hudhayfa, and he's part of the family of Abu Hudhayfa, and his name was Salim ibn Abi Hudhayfa. Salim would go to, with his father, in adoption, to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Salim had a talent, an interest in Qur'an. Salim was a memorizer and authority on Qur'an. And in the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, خُذُوا الْقُرْآنَ مِنْ أَرْبَعٍ, you can take Qur'an from four people. Abdullah ibn Abi Mas'ud, the authority on Qur'an, وَسَالِمْ مَوْلَى أَبِي حُذَيْفَ, and Salim, with the slave of Abu Hudhayfa, وَأُبَيْ ibn كَعْب, وَمُعَاذُ ibn جَبَل. These four are the authority from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you can take the Quran from them. And when Umar heard that there is a man who was just reciting Quran and people writing after him, he was angry until he knew that that was Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And he was fine with it because this hadith confirms that these people are authority on the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this slave was an authority on Quran and he was a teacher of Quran. So he made the immigration with his father in adoption, Abu Hudhayfa, and he would be with him, and he made the immigration with him to Al-Madinah. Now Abu Hudhayfa, after Islam, he and his adopted son and the faith and the relation between them melted all these barriers. Now we have to understand where these minds came from, what kind of a society they were brought in. And they were brought in a society where slave is a slave and a master is a master. They don't mingle. And what Abu Hudhayfa did to change that is he brought his niece, Fatima, daughter of Al-Walid ibn Utba, the one that was killed in Badr. His daughter was a Muslim. And he married that daughter to his freed slave Salim, breaking all the accepted rules of Quraysh and making Salim a true part of the family of Abu Hudhayfa. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would teach Salim al-Quran, and he would hear Salim reciting the Quran. And what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Alhamdulillah, alladhi ja'ala fi ummati mithlak." I praise to Allah that put somebody like you in my ummah, in my nation. And that was the degree of the knowledge of Salim. Salim lived until the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died. However, before the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the event of canceling adoption came, and the verse changing the status of Zayd ibn Haritha came, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala canceled the rules of adoption. So Salim, he was called Salim, son of Abu Hudhayfa, Salim ibn Abu Hudhayfa. And his father is not really known. He doesn't, like Zayd knew who his father is, so changed from Zayd ibn Muhammad to Zayd ibn Haritha, back again. But Salim had nobody to call his father, really. All he knew is Abu Hudhayfa. So people started calling him Salim, Mawla Abu Hudhayfa. Now Mawla means an associate or somebody who's dependent on or a follower of. Somebody like Wilaya, you know, Mawla. So his name was Mawla, became Salim Mawla Abu Hudhayfa, and that is his name in the Islamic history. In the Khilafah of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, Abu Hudhayfa and Salim, Mawla Abu Hudhayfa, were ready to go with Khalid ibn al-Walid. And they had a mission to go to Musaylam al-Kadhab, to the Musaylam the liar, and to bring Musaylam al-Kadhab and the tribe, his tribe of Banu Hanifa in al-Yamama back to Islam, and to show the falsehood of this liar that claimed prophecy after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he actually claimed it on the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He had the audacity, this man Musaylama, to send a letter to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, "Min Musaylama Rasulillah ila Muhammad Rasulillah, inna nisfa al-ard li wa nisfuha lak, illa anna Quraishan qawman ya'dilun." He said, from Musaylama, Prophet of Allah, to Muhammad, Prophet of Allah, no difference. You have half of the earth and I have half of it, the other half. But Quraysh are people that transgress upon others. That sallallahu alaihi wasallam is transgressing on Musaylama's right. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wrote him back, "Min Muhammad Rasulillah ila Musaylam al-Kadhab. Inna al-ard lillah, inna al-mulka lillah, yarithuha man yasha." This earth is not for you to divide it between you and me. It is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from that day on, he was known as Musaylam al-Kadhab. So Khalid ibn al-Walid led an army, but Banu Hanifa were a large tribe. And the fight with them was one of the most difficult battles known till that time in Islamic history. Was more fierce than any of the battles that the Sahaba fought, and even at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that battle was the Battle of Al-Yamama. And what happened early on in that battle is the Muslims were actually started to retreat, and the army of Banu Hanifa was killing, and the Muslims and the death among the Muslims were staggering, the number of dead people among the Muslims. Until the Muslims started dispersing, and the Muslim army started to scatter everywhere. And then Abu Hudhayfa stands up, and he said, Ya Ahl al-Qur'an, O people of Qur'an, زَيِّنُوا الْقُرْآنَ بِأَعْمَالِكُمْ. Decorate, make the ornamentation of the Qur'an with your deeds. I mean, he called upon the people that memorized the Qur'an. He said, those who, and Abu Hudhayfa and Salim, were both of people of the Qur'an. They both were hafaza. They both had the Qur'an in their hearts. And the Abu Hudhayfa and Salim started calling, all people of Qur'an, hold on and show the Qur'an in your deeds, in your swords. And they started gathering al-hafaza. All the people that gathered around Abu Hudhayfa and Salim were people of Qur'an. And they started fighting, fierce fighting that Banu Hanifa could not tolerate. And Salim was calling, بِئْسَ حَامِلُ الْقُرْآنِ أَنَا. I would not be a good carrier of Qur'an if Muslims are defeated on my side. He would just stand there. And some narration, he dug a hole for himself so he could not leave that hole. And they were just fighting and fighting and fighting until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started defeating the army of Musaylam al-Kadhab. And as Salim was fighting, a man came to him and gave him the banner of the raya, the banner of the battle. So this freed slave became the holder of the banner on the day of Yamama. And as he was holding the banner with his left hand and fighting with his right, he lost his right arm. He lost his right arm and it was cut during the fighting. And then he took the banner and he took his sword and he started fighting until his left arm was also cut. So he held the banner with his shoulder and he let the banner be up, and he started calling the last verse. He said the verse that he said وَكَأَيَّ مِن نَبِيٍّ قَاتَلَ مَعَهُ رِبِّيُّونَ كَثِيرٌ فَمَا وَهِنُوا لِمَا أَصَابَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَمَا ضَعِفُوا وَمَا اسْتَكَانُوا وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الصَّابِرِينَ. He continued to recite this. He said, like any prophet, with him, people of Allah were fighting, and they were never weakened for whatever hit them in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they never held back their effort from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah loves those who endure in His way. And he kept reciting that verse until he fell. But victory was for Muslims. And Abu Hudhayfa was hit in that battle as well. And Abu Hudhayfa opened his eyes. And people came to him and they said, Abu Hudhayfa, what do you need? He said, where is Salim? And people came to Salim with no arms on the battlefield and they said, what do you need? He said, Abu Hudhayfa. And they said, well, you are next to each other. And Abu Hudhayfa and Salim were next to each other on the battlefield. And they were both dying in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Abu Hudhayfa got his wish. He got the forgiveness that he was looking for by martyrdom from the word that he just said in a moment of anger on the day of Badr. And he died martyr right next to Salim, right next to his ex-adopted son, to his ex-slave, but his true brother in Islam. They lived together, they memorized the Qur'an together, and they made the jihad together, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed martyrdom on both of them together. And Umar ibn al-Khattab had only one word to say about Salim. And when he was stabbed, Umar ibn al-Khattab, and he was about to die, and he was thinking about what would happen to the Muslims, he said, لَوْ كَانَ سَالِمٌ حَيًّا لَوَلَّيْتَهُ. If Salim, if this free slave was alive, then he would become the next Amir al-Mu'mineen. That was the status, and that was the station of Salim, Mawla Abu Hudhayfa in Islam, rahimahumullah ajma'in. So we saw how Islam changed this relationship between a master and a slave, and made them true brothers. The faith in their heart grew, and nothing mattered other than this brotherhood in Islam and the true love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger. The next two sahaba that we will discuss inshaAllah are people of handicapped. People that had physical limitation of great severity. And these two people are Amr ibn al-Jamuh and Amr ibn Umm Maktum. They're both called Amr. And Amr ibn Umm Maktum, he was also known in Islamic history as Abdullah. There is actually some changes because he was always referred to as Ibn Umm Maktum. But let's speak about the first handicapped Sahabi. The first Sahabi that had this physical limitation that never was a problem to him in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that man was Amr ibn al-Jamuh. Amr ibn al-Jamuh is an Ansari. He is a man of Medina. And his son is Mu'adh ibn Amr. Mu'adh ibn Amr is a Sahabi of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was one of the 70 that gave the pledge to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the greater pledge of Aqaba, fi bay'at al-Aqaba al-Kubra. And he was a friend to Mu'adh ibn Jabal. Mu'adh ibn Amr and Mu'adh ibn Jabal were very close. And these people are youngsters. They were in their late teen years. They were 15 to 17. So young boys, young men are one of the early Sahaba that changed their religion among the Ansar in Medina. Well, Amr ibn al-Jamuh was not a Muslim, but his son became a Muslim. And Islam started spreading in Medina by the efforts of two people. One of them is Mus'ab ibn Umayr. Mus'ab ibn Umayr was the first ambassador that the Prophet ﷺ sent to Medina. Well, the second one is the other Sahabi that we will talk about, is Amr ibn Umm Maktum, is the other man that we inshallah will conclude our session with today. These two were the teachers of Quran in Medina. And of their best students were Mu'adh ibn Amr, the son of Amr ibn al-Jamuh, and Mu'adh ibn Jabal. Mu'adh ibn Amr wanted his father to become a Muslim. And his father was a nobleman in his tribe, one of the elite in Medina. But he was a stubborn worshipper of idols. And he would not, he said, I will not leave the religion of my fathers. And he had an idol that he had in his household. So when he finishes with the big idols in the big temple, then he would come and he would worship his own personal God in his household. So Mu'adh ibn Amr and Mu'adh ibn Jabal, they got in a little good conspiracy and said, how can we convince my father to become a Muslim? And they came up with a plan. They said, let us do something to his idol, to his personal statue that he worships. So they took dirt and they put it on top of the statue, on that idol. And Amr ibn al-Jamuh came that next morning and he said, Rabbi, my Lord, who did this to my God? Who did this to my Lord? And he would clean him and put perfume on him, said, forgive me, I didn't take care of you, my Lord. And then he would, next day, Mu'adh ibn Jabal and Mu'adh ibn Amr would sneak at night and they would bring more dirt and put it right on top of that statue. Amr ibn al-Jamuh comes to the house. What is going on? He said, there is no way. And then he had an idea. He gave his idol a sword. He said, if people come to you tonight to hurt you or do anything to you, then kill them with this sword. And he went. So the next day he doesn't find his idol at all, or his sword. And he finds him in a dumpster, attached to a carcass of a dog, a dead dog, filled with dirt. And then he looks at him, and he said, you didn't defend yourself, did you? And then he said, I don't think you're a God worthy of worship. I don't think you're a God worthy of worship. And Iman came to his heart with this practical joke that Mu'adh and Mu'adh played upon him. And he found his son, and he said, did you do that? And Mu'adh said, yes, we did that, father. Isn't it time? Isn't it time you know that these are just stones? They don't hurt, and they don't benefit anything. And he said, take me to Muhammad. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was already in Medina. And Amr ibn al-Jamuh walked to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his handicap. He had a limp. He had some sort of a paralysis in his leg, and he would limp when he walks. And he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was from the tribe of Salama. And he declared Islam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the tribe of Salama, who is your nobleman? Who is your master? Who is the best among you? Who's your chief? Man sayyidukum ya bani Salama? They said, Al-Jadd ibn Qais, ala bukhlin fi. Our chief is Al-Jadd ibn Qais. Al-Jadd ibn Qais is a munafiq. He's a hypocrite. He declared Islam, but he is the camel, the one with the red camel on the day of the pleasure. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, all of you are in paradise, except the one with the red camel. That was the Jadd ibn Qais, because he was hiding, didn't want to give the pledge to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was hiding behind the red camel. That was the Jadd ibn Qais. So he said, who is your chief, people of Salama? They said, Al-Jadd ibn Qais. He said, no, he is not your chief. He said, بَلْ سَيِّدُكُمْ عَمْرُ بْنُ الْجَمُوحِ. Your chief from here on is Amr ibn al-Jamuh, the Sahabi. And this Sahabi became a Muslim, and his heart was filled with this Islam and filled with this Iman. And he had this major handicap, and he didn't know what to do with it. And on the day of Badr, his children said, you cannot go. What are you going to do? He had four children, they're all Muslims. And they all went with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and left him at home in Badr. And when the people came back and they started telling Amr ibn al-Jamuh about what they did and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was pleased with them, and this all these verses that were revealed about Badr, he just could not stand it. And he would give jihad in his money because he had a handicap. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَيْسَ عَلَى الْأَعْرَجِ حَرَجٍ. Those who have this handicap of limping, they have no problem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven. They don't have an obligation to do this. This is very physical. On the day of Uhud, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam declared for the Sahaba to get ready. And he sees this man limping and wearing, coming to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wearing his shields, wearing his armor. And he said, what do you want, Amr? What do you want, Amr ibn al-Jamuh? What are you doing? And Amr ibn al-Jamuh said to Rasulullah, إِنَّ بَنِيَّ يُرِيدُونَ أَنْ يَحْبِسُونِي. My sons want to lock me up. They don't want me to get out of the house. عَنِ الْخُرُوجِ. They don't want me to go with you. عَنِ الْخُرُوجِ مَعَكْ. To go with you. إِلَى الْجِهَادِ. And the Prophet ﷺ smiled. He didn't want to remind him why they're doing this. And then he looked at Rasulullah ﷺ and said, وَاللَّهِ إِنِّي لَأَرْجُوا أَنْ أَخْطُرَ بِعَرْجَةِ هَذِهِ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. I want to limp in Jannah. I want to walk in Jannah and limp around with my handicap in Jannah. So please take me with you. He asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at that position and he smiled at him and he said, you can go. You can go with the Muslim army. And then Amr ibn al-Jamuh prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he said, Allahumma zuqni shahada wa la taruddani ila ahli. Oh Allah, give me martyrdom and don't bring me back. Don't bring me back to my family. And Amr ibn al-Jamuh started fighting in Uhud, and we know what Uhud was. And Uhud was one of the battles that many of the Sahaba died in. And there were 70 martyrs among the Sahaba. And as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was walking around, and he saw the body of Amr ibn al-Jamuh. He saw that man that was truthful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his wishes. Sadaq Allah. فَصَدَقَهُ اللَّهِ. He was true with Allah, he really wanted martyrdom, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him that. Because martyrdom is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We saw how long Abu Hudhayfa had to really struggle until he got it. It's something that people are granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he looked at him and he said, take Amr ibn al-Jamuh and Abdullah ibn Haram and put them in one grave. Because in dunya, there were people that their hearts were united. Let them be united in martyrdom. He said, اجعلوا عبد الله بن عمر بن حرام وعمر بن الجنوح في قبر واحد فإنهما كانا في الدنيا متحابين متصافيين. They were, they had true love and iman with each other in this dunya. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn Haram, his name is Jabir, is Abu Jabir. And Abu Jabir Abdullah ibn Hamr, he had a story about the Prophet ﷺ very worthy of mentioning. This is the man that shared the grave with Amr ibn al-Jamuh. And when he died, Rasulullah ﷺ brought his son. He said, Jabir, let me tell you this about your father. He said, مَا كَلَّمَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ قَطْ إِلَّا مِنْ وَرَاءِ حِجَابٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't talk to anyone except behind a veil. وَقَدْ كَلَّمَ أَبَاكَ كِفَاحًا. But he talked to your father after he was martyred in Ahad face to face. And this is a hadith in the Sahih. He said, يَا عَبْدِي سَلْنِي أَعْطِكْ. He told your father, he said to your father, ask me and I will give you. And Abu Jabir said, يَا رَبِّ أَسْأَلُكَ أَن تَرُدَّنِي إِلَى الدُّنْيَا لِأُقْتَلَ فِي سَبِيلِكَ ثَانِيَ. He said, I have one wish. Bring me back to dunya so I can be killed in your way again. So I can have martyrdom again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this is in the hadith to Abu Jabir, he said, إِنَّهُ قَدْ سَبَقَ الْقَوْلُ مِنِّي إِنَّهُمْ إِلَيْهَا لَا يَرْجِعُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I have preordained that they cannot go back. Nobody can go, can come back to this dunya. And then Abu Jabir said, يَا رَبِّ أَبْلِغْ مَنْ وَرَائِي بِمَا أَعْطَيْتَنَا مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ. Then my request to you is, Ya Allah, tell those behind us what you have given us. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verses, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ فَرِحِينَ بِمَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ وَيَسْتَبْشِرُونَ بِالَّذِينَ لَمْ يَلْحَقُوا بِهِمْ مِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ أَلَّا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. The verse of the shahada came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that those who are killed in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are not dead. They are alive with their Lord. Like you see, Abu Jabir was talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately after the moment of his martyrdom. He said, they are alive with their Lord. They're given sustenance. They are alive. They're truly alive. Like you are given sustenance, they are given, but it's a whole different level of giving from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Farihin, they are happy from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them, and they have the glad tiding for those who behind them, who has not followed them yet, that they have no fear and no sorrow. And that was the end of this A'raj, this man with the limp, this man with the handicap, by getting the martyrdom. And like he asked for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, I would love to limp in al-Jannah. He was limping in the Jannah of Paradise. He walked on Paradise as he wanted. The last sahabi is the last one with the handicap. His handicap was very severe. His handicap was blindness. This man was blind. And he was blind early on in his life. So he doesn't have any recollection. He was completely blind. And his name was Amr ibn Umm Maktum. And he was in Mecca. He was a Mekki from Al-Muhajireen. And he was cousin of Khadija bint Khuwaylid. He's related to Umm al-Mu'mineen Khadija al-Kubra, the mother of the believers, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is her cousin on her mother's side. So he's from the tribe of Asad. And Abdullah or Amr, there are differences of what his name is, either Amr or Abdullah, and you will see both in the Islamic references. Amr ibn Umm Maktum, he was one also of the authorities of Quran. And his recitation of the Quran was beautiful. And his voice was very beautiful. And that what he would gather from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Quran was his life. He was blind man. And his, you know, there is a proverb in Arabic. It says, كُلُّ ذِي عَاهَةٍ جَبَّارٍ. Everyone with a handicap has a special talent. And the talent of Abdullah was al-Quran. He was very good in Quran and the recitation of the Quran. And one time he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Abdullah or Amr ibn Umm Maktum was blind, so he can't see what's with the Prophet. And he came to the Prophet and he said, Ya Rasulullah, علمني مما علمك الله. Teach me from what Allah is teaching you. And he sat with the Prophet waiting. But the Prophet has a very important meeting going on at the same time. He had Utsba bin Rabi'ah, the one that we talked about. He had Abu Jahl, and he had Umayyah ibn Khalaf, and he had Al-Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib, and he has Ubay ibn Khalaf. He had the aristocrats of Quraysh. If these people became Muslims, then the entire tribe of Quraysh would follow. So the Prophet ﷺ hears Abdullah or Amr ibn Maktum, and hears this aristocrats and the noblemen of Quraysh, and Rasulullah ﷺ is giving them his attention. And Abdullah is persistent. Ya Rasulullah, allimni mimma allamakallah. Ya Rasulullah, allimni mimma allamakallah. The Prophet is busy talking to these people, want to bring them to Islam. And this man is relentless. And then the Prophet ﷺ looked at him, and man cannot even see the face of the Prophet ﷺ, and the Prophet ﷺ frowned. Abbas. He frowned to Abdullah. And then Jibreel came. Jibreel al-Wahi al-Amin came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and recited these verses. عَبَسَ وَتَوَلَّى أَنْ جَاءَهُ الْأَعْمَى وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّهُ يَزَّكَّى أَوْ يَذَّكَّرُ فَتَنْفَعَهُ الذِّكْرَى أَمَّا مَنْ اسْتَغْنَى فَأَنْتَ لَهُ تَصَدَّى وَمَا عَلَيْكَ أَلَّا يَزَّكَّى وَأَمَّا مَنْ جَاءَكَ يَسْعَى وَهُوَ يَخْشَى فَأَنْتَ عَنْهُ تَلَهَّى كَلَّا إِنَّهَا تَذْكِرَةٌ فَمَنْ شَاءَ ذَكَرَ فِي صُحُفٍ مُكَرَّمَةٍ مرفوعة مطهرة بأيدي بررة بأيدي سفرة كرام بررة. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came to the defense of the blind man by these verses, and he taught the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the manners of prophethood, and the message is you turn your attention to the ones that come to you. Don't try to chase others with your message. These are the people that are coming to you. عَبَسَ وَتَوَلَّى. You frown and you turn around from that who came to you asking for the knowledge, asking for the Qur'an. And you're diverting your attention to those who are away. Their hearts are away from this religion. And the Prophet ﷺ learned and with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what this means. And this a'ma, this blind man is mentioned in the Qur'an. Is one of the few Sahaba that are mentioned in the Qur'an. And this is Abdullah or Amr ibn Maktum. And from that day on, any time this blind man comes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet would get up, he would put his garment, and he would let him sit on top of it. And he would say, Marhaban, welcome, welcome, Amr ibn Maktum. He said, Marhaban biman aatabani fihi Rabbi. Welcome for the man that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has critiqued me or blamed me for his sake, for the sake of this man. And then he will say, هَلَّكَ مِنْ حَاجَةٍ. What would you need? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will divert all his attention to Abdullah Amr ibn Maktum. The status of Ibn Maktum grew even higher at the time of Hijrah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to choose people to send to Medina to teach the people of Medina Islam. And he chose two. He chose Mus'ab ibn Umayr, radiallahu anh, who was martyred in Uhud. And he was an authority on Islam and Quran, and he chose the blind man. He chose Amr ibn Maktum. And they were in the first two muhajir to go to Medina. First one was Mus'ab, and the second one was Abdullah ibn Maktum. And the Sahaba of Medina, they said, مَا فَعَلَ مَنْ وَرَاءَكَ. Where are the rest of you? He said, he was the second to come. And he answered from the Quran, he said, هُمْ أُولَاءِ عَلَىٰ أَثَرِي. They're following in my tracks. Which is what Rasulullah Musa alayhi salam said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنْ طَاهَ أُولَاءِ هُمْ أُولَاءِ عَلَىٰ أَثَرِي وَعَجِلْتُ إِلَيْكَ رَبِّي لِتَرْضَى. And I hasten to you, Allah, so you would be pleased with me. And he was the teacher of Quran in Medina, along with Mus'ab ibn Umayr. Amr ibn Abi ibn Maktum had another status with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With his beautiful voice, he was a mu'adhin. He was one of the mu'adhin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the caller to prayer. We all know the famous one. We all know Bilal. We all know Bilal ibn Rabah. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had four mu'adhineen, four people that are called to prayer. He had Bilal ibn Rabah. The second in command for the caller to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was Abdullah Amr ibn Maktum. And the third one was Sa'd al-Qardh, who was a slave, an ex-slave to Ammar ibn Yasir. And he was a mu'adhin in Qiba. Qiba is the first masjid in Islam. The first masjid in Islam, period. that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put to mankind in Qiba when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Medina. And then Abu Mahdura is the fourth muadhin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it is narrated in the Sahih, and this is in Imam Ahmad and Al-Bukhari, that Bilal used to make adhan in Ramadan, and people would get up and start eating their sahur, until Abdullah ibn Maktoum make the second adhan, and people actually have to tell him because he's blind. They say, Asbahat, Asbahat, when the dawn starts, people tell Abdullah, and he would make the second adhan, and by the second adhan, the fasting would start. So that is a clear evidence that he was one of the muadhineen of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdullah ibn Maktoum was when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now this man really cannot go to jihad. He cannot go to the battle. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would give him a great station in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and 13 times in 13 expeditions and battles, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would leave Medina, Amr ibn Maktoum will be the Khalifa after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would be the governor over Medina when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leaves. This blind man was the leader in the absence of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 13 times. 13 times. But he really wanted more. He really wanted more, like the first handicap, like Amr ibn Jamuh. He wanted to make jihad. Now how can a blind man become a mujahid in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam crying and listening to this verses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is promising the Jannah for those who make jihad in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for the second time, Jibreel comes for this man. He came asking the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all these mujahideen in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised, what do I do? I'm the blind man. What can I do? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals, لا يستوي القاعدون من المؤمنين غير أولي الضرر والمجاهدين في سبيل الله بأموالهم وأنفسهم. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, those who sit are not like those who go and fight in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except those with the handicapped. Except those who have the excuse of the handicapped. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, لَيْسَ عَلَى الْأَعْمَى حَرَجٍ. And the blind has an excuse in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the scholars say this is the second time Jibreel comes for the sake of this man, teaching the entire ummah the lessons for this particular sahabi. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about that, when people would go to jihad, and by the way, the verse of لَيْسَ عَلَى الْأَعْمَى حَرَجْ وَلَا عَلَى الْأَعْرَجِ حَرَجْ وَلَا عَلَى الْمَرِيضِ حَرَجْ is in Al-Fatih, verse 17. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the blind has an excuse. There is no blame upon the blind for not going to jihad. There is no blame upon the one that has a limp, walking handicapped, or the sick, the general people who are ill. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say about those with the handicap, he would say, "Inna bil Madinati aqwaman." He would tell the Sahaba with him. He said, "In Medina there are people. Ma sirtum min masir, wala qata'tum min wadin illa wahum ma'akum fi." And you will not walk in any valley or walk in any distance unless these people are with you. And the Sahaba said, "Wahum bil Madina ya Rasulullah." They are in Medina. They are sharing our reward. They are sharing with us the jihad. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, نعم حبسهم العذر. Yes, because they have an excuse. And nobody has more excuse than this blind man that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed all these verses for. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passes. And Abdullah ibn Maktoum would go with the Muslims and the armies to jihad to teach them Quran. Because even though he cannot have a sword and fight because he's blind, but he used his talent in Qur'an, and he would go with the army to entice the army on fighting, to recite Qur'an. And there's so many new Muslims now. They are going to Al-Iraq, they are going to the Sham, and they are going into these new territories, and he is the teacher of Qur'an, and he would walk with the army and teach the new Muslim Qur'an. Until one major battle came, and that is the battle of Al-Qadisiyah. Very severe and very important milestone in Islamic history. And we know Al-Qadisiyya, we studied Al-Qadisiyya in details. And Al-Qadisiyya went over days and nights. And the Muslims could not achieve victory until the fourth day, right? So one day after the other, and Muslims are getting weary and more tired, and the Persians are getting more strong and more fierce in their fighting, trying to defend their kingdom. And then Anas ibn Malik narrates this story and this event on Abdullah ibn Maktoum. On that day of Al-Qadisiyya, on the day of Al-Qadisiyya, Abdullah ibn Maktoum, the teacher of Quran, usually doesn't go for fighting, came with his shield and armor to the battlefield. The blind man, wearing fighting equipment. And they said, Abdullah, what are you doing? What are you doing here? What are you gonna do? You are a blind man. And he said, yes, I am a blind man. But if you give me the banner, I will not know the severity of the battle, so I can't escape. He said, إِنِّي لَا أَرَى فَلَا أَسْتَطِيعُ أَنْ أَفِرُ. Since I'm blind, I will not run away, no matter what happens. I will be right here, holding the banner, no matter what happens. Because I can't be afraid, they can't scare me. You know, I can't see what's going on, so I will not run away. And the Sahaba, he said, وَأَقِمُونِي بَيْنَ الصَّفَّيْنَ, and let me go among your rows, and I will hold the banner for you. So instead of the banner holder, a fighting person, then that fighting person can go fight, and Abdullah, the blind man, can hold the banner. And he held the banner. And then Anas said, in this Qadisiyya, in the day of Qadisiyya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them martyrdom. This man was killed. The blind man, Abdullah, Amr ibn Abi Maktoum, he was killed on the day of Qadisiyya, holding the banner for the Muslims. And he was found among the killed on the day of Qadisiyya. So his dream came true. And all that anguish about not going to jihad was revealed, and it was lifted from him. And he is, with his handicap, became a martyr in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So alhamdulillah, today we went over Abu Hudhayfa and Salim, Mawla Abu Hudhayfa, the master and the slave that Islam brought together, and they both died on the battlefield of Al-Yamama, head to head, next to each other, and they were both of the people of Quran. And we talked about two people with handicapped. The one, they both end up in jihad, being killed in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and getting the martyrdom. One who cannot walk, and the other one was the blind, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran al-Kareem by that description, al-A'ma. He was blind in sight, but his heart was not. Jazakumullah khair. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to gather us with them and to learn from them. We all have handicaps in life, and we all make excuses for our shortcomings and our handicap. But if we look at these Sahaba, with their true severe handicaps, and what they were capable of doing with their faith, then there is, inshallah, a lesson for us to learn. Jazakumullah khair. Any comments or questions? Jazakumullah khair. We pray, inshallah. Allahumma alimna ma yanfa'una. Afwan.
Next Sunday,
yes. جزاك الله ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وفقها في الدين يا رب العالمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين